Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 28. And at this point, Jesus Christ was teaching his people a reality about the nature of God and his generosity and his kindness and mercy to his creation. And the subject he's talking about here in specific is about the needs that people have. And when they ask God, they should ask in faith. They should ask according to his will. They should be obedient to begin with, you see, and doing his will, and walking in his laws and commandments, and under all these circumstances, just like he said himself many times, when he wanted to perform certain miracles, he would just look up to heaven, and he would say, I thank you, God, that you have answered me. You see, he could say that, because he did the will of God perfectly. He sought it with all of his being and heart, and he was not asking God to do things that he knew would be contrary to the will of God. So under these circumstances, you see, a lot of people just look at these instructions that he said, ask and knock and it shall be open to you, and seek and things like that, without the conditions being fulfilled that's supposed to be there. Obedience to the will of God, faith in God, asking according to the will of God, being pleasing in his sight, doing those things which are pleasing to him, you see. And all those conditions are there under the circumstances. We go to God and we ask, and we're going to find. God is not going to deprive us of that. And so when he gives us an example of the man, he said in verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread? You see, now when your son asks you for bread, he's not asking for something that is too far out. You see, he's not asking, when he's only 13 or 14, for your Jaguar or your Corvette or whatever, something you cannot handle, or your truck, you see. And so he's asking for basics. There is no reason why you shouldn't give it to him, you see. And obviously, your son is somebody you want to take care of. And even your next-door neighbor, if he's hungry, you're a generous person, you'll give it to him, and how much more to your son? And so you have to understand, what things Christ is talking about here and what things he's not talking about here. And so this is what he's saying here, this is what he's asking you for bread, something he really needs. You're not going to give him a stone. What kind of a nature is that? You see? And so he wants to make a comparison here between human beings and their goodness toward others, especially their own, and in contrast, He's exposing and revealing the nature of the Father, which is so much greater than that. And also making a difference between the nature of man who does good things like that and the nature of God, which to begin with is perfect in every way. And so in verse 10 he continues, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? You see, it'll never dawn on anybody to do that. Only an evil spirit will do a thing like that. And even normal human beings with all their weaknesses and shortcomings, they don't behave that way. You see, unless you deal with a very, very vicious person, then you'll have something strange happen when you ask for something. But normal human beings, he said, are not that way. And so he makes a point here, which people don't like to hear, revealing our nature. You see, in contrast to the nature of God. He says in verse 11, if you then, being evil, that's something you take for granted. In comparison to God, the nature that we have, the selfishness that is in us, the covetousness, the self-exalting attitudes, the malice that is in us, the corruption, the carnality that is in us, you see, all those things you put together, that makes us what we are, evil. We are not good. That's what David was saying. There is none good, no, not one. We are not good. And even when somebody came to Christ and told him, good master, he said, what do you call me good? There is none good but God. That is when you talk about the ultimate, and obviously the man does not recognize him as God. You see, just another human being and a prophet. And he said, you cannot call man that way. So that's what he was talking about. The ultimate sense, only God is good. Now, we have We commit acts of kindness, we commit acts of goodness, but we ourselves are not good. You see, people who sin cannot be good. Because when you're good, that means you never sin, you never do wrong, you never do evil, and never think wrong. And none of us can say that we are in that category. And that's what he's saying here, so let's understand what he's talking about. If you then, being evil, as God said about men, after the destruction by the flood, he said, I'm not going to destroy men anymore. Why? Because that's the nature of man. Destruction is not going to solve the problem. And he said there right after the flood, because the nature of man is evil from his youth. You see, we're mischievous and we're evildoers, even though we, you know, we also do good. Now, a lot of people like to say about certain person, well, that person could never hurt a fly. He could never do a bad thing in his life. There is no such a thing. That's deception on our part. That's because we do not understand the nature of God, and we just compare that person to others. Everybody is capable of anything under the right circumstances, you see, because we are not God, who cannot be tempted, but we can. And so we by nature, unfortunately, because of what the devil had done to us and the society, and what he had done to the society which had done that to us, you see, be it our parents, neighbors, friends, relatives, and all those things, that's an input that enters into our mind, the hard drive, you know, of our computer, you see, and as I say, garbage in, garbage out, and under the right circumstances, you know, that garbage comes out. You know, we try to discipline it, but in essence, our nature in comparison to the nature of God is evil, his is good. And that's what he's saying here, and we better understand that. And look at the mirror of the law. And because people, you know, do not study the law of God, so they think they're okay. Until you begin to study the law of God, just like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I thought I used to be doing just great. You see, until the awareness of the spiritual concept of the law, besides just the letter of the law, the facade of it, came into my mind, you know, and God opened his eyes and gave him his spirit to begin to see himself for what he is, the way God sees him, then you realize, no, that he was not a good man. He was not a righteous man. Before that, he thought, as touching as he made that statement, the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. But not when it comes to the righteousness of God. We find ourselves full of spots and blemishes. And so this is what he's talking about here. And we have to understand that and never, you know, call ourselves good people. We're not good people. There are no good people on the face of the earth. You see? That when good people do all kind of corrupt things and evil things, and every land and every country and every person on the face of the earth who ever lived had done evil. And that comes from a nature that is evil to begin with, not from a good nature. Only God does not do evil and does not commit evil, you know, wickedness, and does not transgress. You see, iniquity and hurt people the way we do each other and insult people and are covetous and selfish and gossip and insult people, insensitive to people, and all kind of things like that. We do it all the time, every single one of us. And yet we like to pat ourselves on the back and say we are good people. You know, we are good Americans, we are good Israelis, we are good Germans, we are good English. Everybody's good. And although the Muslims, you know, like to pride themselves of being the believers, all good. In spite of all the vomit and filthiness and corruption and illiteracy and ignorance and blindness, and deception in their own lands, and crime, you see, and abuse. And they like to think of themselves as being the believers. All the others are in the infidels. You see, all these people are mocking God. And they're fools. And they don't see it for what it is. So we should not be that kind of people, because the Word of God makes it very plain. There is none good, no, not one. We are evil by nature from our youth. And we have to admit those kind of things. And because people don't like to, that's why they hate the law of God. As Paul said in Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be, because we do not like to be corrected and be told what we really are made of. We like to deceive ourselves and deceive others that we are good, that we are nice, you see. And our Creator said very plainly, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, you know, your Father who is not evil, who does not have that nature that we have, you see, who is not carnal as we are, even when we are spiritual and have the Spirit of God, we're still carnal. That's what Paul was saying. Romans 8. You see, Romans 7 before that. It's talking about carnality. But especially in Romans 8, you see. And it begins with chapter 7, where it discusses the things that he knows to do better, and he does not find himself doing it, and then he's pleading with God for help to deliver him from this body. And then he said in other places, you see, the law, I know the law is good, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. You see, we're still carnal, carnality is still in us. We're not perfect just because God gives us a spirit. That's a long, long process until Christ is fully formed in us and we have his nature and nothing of the devil in us. We have to be honest with ourselves. Walk up front with God. Look at the mirror of the law all the time. And people, when they do not study the law of God, they say it's done away with. Well, now they think they're good. You see? Just like, you know, you take from the book all the laws, you know, that man has about traffic, about this and that and the other thing, and then, you know, obviously, since there's no law there, you know, then you're good. You see, that's self-deception, and all of us are engaged in it to one degree or the other. That's why we like to justify ourselves, you see, and look at the problems others have and say that we are good people and they are not. So it says, if then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, that is, give good things to those who ask him? You see, again, he's directing our attention and our worship, you see, and all of our needs, not to himself, but to the Father, the head of the family. Christ is not the head of the family, he's not the head of the religion, you see. And the religion is not to be called after his name. And the people are not to be called after his name, even though we are his. You see? He always directed us first to the number one in his own life too, and should be in our own. And people should always direct their worship first and foremost to the Father and then to Christ. You see? And that's the order of things. And yet people are not willing to do it. You see, they show by that their evil nature is still there. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to decide on their own what is true, what is wrong, what is not, what is biblical and what is not. That's why people, you know, are so arrogant to say that we supersede the authority of the Bible. That's the ultimate of evil. You see? And yet people fall for it and go after it and follow those kind of people. So this is what he's saying. You know, you address the Father. He's the source of it all. And whatever we ask him, yes, we ask in the name of Christ, but we ask the Father. We don't ask Christ. You see? But at the same time, you see, when you walk with Christ, well, obviously, you also ask him too. But always remembering who is the source of it and to whom we should address, to begin with, all of our requests. And not separate one from the other and not say, well, you know, Christ is my God, the Father is not, you know, he's too harsh, I don't know how to talk to him, but Christ is a God of mercy and grace and faith. Well, you know, the other God is a God of law, and I don't like that, it's too restrictive. You see, that's a deception that is in the heart of a whole religion that calls itself Christianity, and that's one of the biggest deception that ever was foisted by the devil on humanity, beside all the other false religions on the face of the earth. And verse 12, therefore he says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see? That's the royal law. If this is the royal law, how can people say the law is done away with? How can they say the law is, you know, that, you know, the Father, you know, all those strict laws that he gave them? You see? How can people call themselves Christians and then deny him and his words and his teachings? That's because of evil in the heart of men, the corruption that is in us, the pollution, the lies and deceptions that we swallowed, and we're not willing to gorge them out, puke them out, and come to God, you know, come clean, and sit down at his feet and learn and read his lips. You see, his lips, not those of men, who are polluted and defiled and who are evil by nature. Once we learn to do that, we'll be walking in the light. So that's what he's saying here. That's the law. You see? That's the law that people claim was done away with. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Well, people like the first statement, do unto others as you know would like them to do unto you. You know, they want to live by that. But they don't want to hear the word law or Torah. That's what it means, Torah. The word law itself is not a good word. And in the first series, we went through it in the first lesson. You should go back to it to explain what the Torah is all about and who is the epitome of the Torah, but Christ himself, you see. And you'll have a better understanding of what the Torah is, and you're going to have the same appreciation as David had of the Torah. He reveled in it, you see. His life was wrapped around it because that was the nature and the mind and the character of God himself. So this is what he's saying here very plainly, and yet people don't want to hear it. This is the law. And the prophets, as soon as they say law, you know, they'll tune you off. They want to hear about mercy and grace. Don't talk to me about law. People who claim to have the Holy Spirit and have that deep-seated resentment. Why? Because, as Paul said again, as we mentioned earlier, because a carnal mind is an enemy of God. And any time you feel resentment toward the law of God, just call yourself an enemy of God, because that's exactly what you are. And that's the way God regards you. If you resent his nature and character, you're his enemy. You see, you're of another spirit, you're of the devil. Don't kid yourself that you are not. You see, but when you love the law of God, that means you love God. You love his nature and mind and character, because that's how he explained what he is, what he thinks, what he feels, what he likes, what he hates, what he abhors. It's only through the Torah that you can find it. And that Torah is from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. Throughout the entirety of the book, which is only one book of instruction, that is of Torah, from God himself, so his children can be holy as he is, and good as he is, and kind as he is, and compassionate, and graceful, and merciful. There is no other way. You see, that's the only way you can come to God. So to begin with, if you ask God for something in time of your need, ask yourself, are you a hater of the law of God? Well, if you are, forget about asking him, because he's not going to respond to you. You can cry all you want and pray all you want. You see? Even though he taught us to love our enemies, you see, it does not mean that we have a relationship with our enemies as with those that we love and they love us. See, there is still a limit there. And then he continues here, verse 13, and in essence, in the scriptures, he's going to differentiate between the true believers and the false ones, which are the overwhelming majority. In verse 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate, through the law. That's a narrow gate. Enter through it. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way. You see, you got either a narrow way, that's a way of life. The law of God is called a way of life. The religion of God is called a way of life. It's not called Judaism. It's not called Christianity, and it's not called Islam or Buddhism or Shintoism. Those are man-made, concocted in the brain of man, inspired by other spirits. God called his religion, very simply, a way. It's a way of life. How you talk to people, how you greet them, how you shine, you know, your face upon them instead of growl at them and hate them and want to destroy them. How you behave in the office, how you behave in the bedroom, how you behave in the kitchen, in the living room with your children, your employees, your friends, everybody else. It's a way of life from the time you're awake until you go to sleep. It's a way of life. That's the name of his religion, you see. People like to say, well, I'm a member of Judaism. Where do you see it in the Bible? Or a member of Christianity. Where do you see it in the Bible? You see, all the other names that people want to come up with. And they call themselves by the name of other people. Methodist. You see, somebody was of that nature, you know, he was very methodical. And so people take that person because they follow his train of thinking and they like it, and so they call themselves by that. You know, that's the name they give to their church. You don't see it in the Bible. You see, we are all the people of God. We have only one God. We have only one law, as God commanded Moses to tell all of Israel and the strangers. You see, and it does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet people want to do their own thing. That's the reason why he says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. This is where you're headed when you walk in the wide gate, in the broad way. Well, yeah, everybody does that which is right in his own sight, instead of the narrow gate where you do exactly what God said. You follow his law and commandments, you see, And he is the authority in your life, not the church, not men. You see, not yourself. And yet most people would rather walk in the broad way until they, you know, they are led to destruction rather than walk in the narrow gate. And so he says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And many basically stands in biblical terms the majority. You see, that's why it says the devil deceives the whole world. Only the very few of the elect are not falling for it. Why? Because they study the law of God day and night to know exactly what is the will of the Father from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation. And then they know the will of the Father in its entirety. And they follow it. Not men. Not their own opinions. Not any given church. Not any leader that claims to be the servant of God. If what he says, because we're commanded to prove all things, if what he says is contrary to the will of God, you tell him to take a hike. You see? As Peter said, we'd rather obey God than men. People haven't learned to do that. You know, I just follow, you know, these are the teachings of my church, and that's all I know. What do I care? You know, what do I know? I don't understand that. You see, I just follow my church. And everybody says that in his own church, and everybody does something different, and all supposed to be right. And Christ said, oh no, you're all walking the broad way into destruction. You want to continue to go that way? You have the choice. And many, he said, are going to go and fall into that destruction. Because, verse 14, narrow, in contrast to that, narrow is the gate. You can't do anything you want, only what the law says. You see? And that makes it very narrow. You don't have many options there. People always like to have a lot of options. Well, you want to have a lot of options, you walk in the broad way, and where do you end up? You see? He said, narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way. It's not easy. Why it's not easy? Because we have a nature that is carnal and is an enemy of God. And people want to do their own thing. And they don't like anybody tell them how to live their life. You see? Now that makes it difficult. When you have to live by the dictates of somebody else. Now this is not just somebody else in terms of a person. That's God himself. But people don't like that. They don't like only one option. They like many. And so it's difficult for them to be obedient to God and to do his will. They want to do their own. Or they want to do somebody else's will. Or they want to do their church will. You see, or somebody they like. And so he said, no, my way is difficult. It's not easy. And so obviously many people don't like it. And so he says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Why do you think only very few have the gold medal? You see, only the very few are willing to put themselves through all those efforts, sweat and tears and blood, so to speak, and discipline, self-discipline, very strict way of life. And that's the only way they can make it to the top. It's not easy, it's difficult. You see? But most people want to have an easy life. I just want grace and peace, and I want to sit in my rocking chair, and it was all done for me. I don't need to do anything. It was all done at the cross, you see, a long time ago. All I have to do is just believe. You see? All these lies over this in New York, all this baloney that people have been swallowing for 2,000 years, deceptions and lies that came by the ministers of the devil and not of God. You see? The one who pretends to be an angel of light and his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness, who speak smooth and sweet words, you know, to people, instead of rebuking them sharply, correcting them, as God commands his servants to do. You see, because people like to walk, you know, their own way, do their own things. And so people would rather follow them. I'm not interested in the truth, because the truth hurts. People don't like the truth. That's what he's saying here. It's difficult, the way that leads to life, and only few find it. So what did he come up with those, you know, almost 2 billion people who claim to be Christians? If only few find it. He didn't say the majority. This is the very few. That's what he called his people, his church, little flock. It's not a huge one made of hundreds of millions of people. You see, almost 2 billion people, or at least over 1 billion people. You see? That's a deception that you find upon the face of the earth. He says, only few find it, because only few are willing to be obedient to the faith, like Jesus Christ was willing to obey unto death. And it says about him, the Son of God, who was without spot and blemish, that he learned obedience. Obedience to whom and to what? Obedience to the law of God. Obedience to God. He said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. People don't like to suffer. They want the easy way. That's why only the very few find it. And it's not a huge flock. But to begin with, the majority of them don't even know what the teachings of their church is. And couldn't care less. You know, just want to darken, you know, the doorposts of a church. Most of them, maybe only a few times a year, or maybe only once. And others, maybe more faithful, may do it every weekend, you see, on the wrong day, you see. They don't want to go and do it God's way, where he says, the Sabbath is my day, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, I'm not the Lord of Sunday. You see, that's the day the pagans worship the sun. And yet they claim to be the people of God. He says, no, only very few find it, the majority go into destruction. Now, this is where you find the overwhelming majority of religious people on the face of the earth in any given religion. You see, not only in the false religions, but even in the one that they call themselves the true religion. And then he's warning people, because he knows. Why is it that people are in that category of going in the broad way instead of the narrow way, of doing their own thing instead of obedient to God? In verse 14 and 15, he's warning us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They pretend to bring you to light. You see, they teach you, you know, the pagan doctrine of, you know, you'll be good, you'll go to heaven, which is a big lie. Nobody goes to heaven. And we're going to read it several times by the words of Jesus Christ himself and many others. And we had a whole series on that. And those who are interested in listening to it, go back to the other series, the first one that we did on the law. And then we had devoted one section for this teaching of heaven and hell as God taught it, you see, not as men. Perverted it, or as the devil perverted it, injected it into the heart of man. And so these false prophets are going to destroy people. They're ravenous wolves. That's why he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Why? Because people would rather follow those smooth talkers, that God calls them windbags, you see, rather than the words of the servants of God, who tell you things that may not be pleasant to hear, but they're right and true. Bitter medicine, you see. And so Christ is warning us, he's warning his true disciples, the very few that really follow him, to beware of the false prophet, just like he told them later on, Matthew 24, will come to it. When his disciples were showing him the temple, the buildings, and all those marvelous things, you see, and they were asking him about, you know, they knew that destruction is coming upon Jerusalem, and they wanted to know where, and when, and how. So he told them, these are not the things that they should worry about the most. But he said, many shall come in my name. You see, shall say that I am the Christ, speak all kind of smooth things about me, sweet, nicey, nice, sweet little Lord Jesus, you know, our Lord who gave his life for us, you know, who died on the cross, and his blood, you know, atones for my sins, and all those beautiful things, which are all true, and then deceive many, you see. He says, that's the thing that he should be worried about the most. And people are not. And to this very day, those false prophets are out there doing their job, and they are the majority, and the people who follow them are the majority, and yet only the very few are really that follow Christ and follow God, follow the law of God. That's what he's talking about here. Beware of false prophets. And how do you know they are false? You have to prove them. Are they speaking the word of God? Do they teach the law of God? Or just a smooth, nicey, nice things, or just bits and pieces of the truth, you see? That's how they deceive. That's how the ministers of the devil deceive. They appear as ministers of righteousness. So they've got to do a lot of good things, righteous things, and then inject poison into it and lies and deceptions. You see, to begin with, the worst thing they do is to tell people the law of God is done away with. Well, now you're totally cut off from God, because that's the only way to him. Because Christ is the epitome of that law, and Christ is the way And it's only through Christ that he can come to God. And if you're disobedient to his law, you're disobedient to Christ, the doctrine of Christ. You're gone, you're out. You see? That's why he told the Philippians, and he told every other church, the Apostle Paul. You know, there was a time when you were without God, without covenants, without promises, apart from the commonwealth of Israel. You were Gentiles. You see, you were cut off from God. You had no law. You walked by your own law, lawlessness. You were walking the broad way. Now you've been brought into the narrow way. You see? And yet people are not willing to listen to that. It just goes over their head. It doesn't mean anything to them. That's why he's saying here, you better be careful of those false prophets who appear, you know, in sheep's clothing. You know, they pretend to be ministers of righteousness, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and they themselves may not even know it. You see, because they've been duped, and they don't know any better. And yet that's what they are. Whether you know or not, if you hand somebody a glass that has poison in it, with all the good intentions that you have, that makes you a ravening wolf, because you're going to lead somebody to destruction. You see, even if you yourself have not done it out of malice, but out of ignorance. And yet the law of God is there to teach you what kind of food to give others, not the food that destroys. And that's what he says, that's what they are. He said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He says, there's no way. It doesn't work like that. So unless they bring the word of God in its purity and the law of God from Genesis 1:1 until the end, as Christ said, men shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not say, well, all these words, I don't care about them, it's done away with, nailed to the cross. You see, that's another God, when it is Jesus Christ himself who gave it. When it is Jesus Christ himself who said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or to do away with it, the Torah or the prophets. You see, so that's how you flush them out. If they speak this word, as John said, you know, according to the word of God, this doctrine, then you bid them, you know, high and things like that, let them in. But if not, he says, throw them out. Don't talk to them. And people are not doing it. Anybody who holds a Bible, they think he's a servant of God. They don't realize that the devil likes to hang around with the Bible. So he can deceive. That's how he does his work. He cannot do it if he brings you only lies. He has to bring you a lot of truth. That's how all scams are, you know, they're too good to be true. And they always use all kind of things to deceive you, to appeal to you, and then, you know, may give you some goodies here and there, and then they trap you. And people haven't learned that yet. They're not proving all things. They're too lazy to do it. They do not study the Word of God to begin with. They couldn't care less about the law of God. And therefore, all walk in the broad way into destruction, like sheep into the slaughter, and don't even know where they're headed. And so he says, you got to test them by their fruits. And realize that good things don't come from bad places. Even so, he said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And the only way you can understand what he's talking about is if you know the law of God. Because here it is, the God of Israel. You see, speaking to his wife. Who knows the law? Who knows the prophets? They know what he's talking about. Those who don't, they don't understand what he's talking about. So they invent their own doctrines, their own, and concoct their own thoughts and ideas about it in their own brain, and they're all led into destruction. And so it says in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's as simple as that. That's what John the Baptist came and told his people, that unless you turn away from your evil deeds, from transgressing the law, and return to the law of God, that's what he came to warn them about, and that's what Elijah, the first one, came to warn them about. And that's what the Elijah that is coming yet in the future is going to warn all of Israel and the whole earth. Unless, as it said in Malachi, unless you return to the law of Moses and all the statutes that I gave him, this is Jesus Christ speaking, you're all going to be destroyed. I'm going to bring an utter destruction on the whole earth. And the message has always been very plain from beginning until the end, and how many people are listening to it? They'd rather walk in blindness and then wide road and end up in destruction. That's more comfortable. You see, I'd rather go downstream than upstream. the narrow way, the hard way, the difficult way. That's the way you reach life. It's not easy. It wasn't meant to be easy. It was meant to be only for those who would really strive with their whole being and heart against all odds and then win the victory at the end of the road and reach their destiny. That's what he's saying here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And those people are going to come to God and cry, you know, Jesus Christ, oh, please open the door where your people too. We did all kind of good things. And he looks at them and says, I don't even know you. Get out of here. You're lawless. You are without law. You despise my law. That's my nature and character. How dare you come over here and claim to be mine and call yourself by my name? That's what the overwhelming majority are going to hear. You see? And as Christ would say, he that has an ear, let him hear. That is before it is too late. And that's what he's saying here. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. And then he made it very plain. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Everybody likes to say, Lord, Lord. He said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. You see, he didn't even say my will, but my Father. And how many people want to do the will of the Father? I'll say, oh, no, the will of the Father, that's for the Jews. You know, he gave them that strict law. We've got, you know, the will of Christ. Just grace and faith, believe in me, and everything is dandy. Don't worry about anything else. You see? And that's the way people work. They're not following the example of Jesus Christ or the example of God. They do not read the Bible and follow it exactly. You know, they just do their own thing. They read certain things. They believe certain things. And they add their own input into it and their own commentary. You see? And they decide for themselves what is truth and what is not. Christ made it very plain. You cannot do your own thing, or even partially, the things that I tell you, but you must do the will of my Father. And he did not even say you got to do my will, which obviously is implicated there, because his will and the will of the Father are exactly the same. And yet a false religion taught that the will of the Father, in essence, was one thing, and it is for the Jews, and he gave them those strict laws. You see, and the will of Christ, well, just, you know, believe in me, look on me, you know, I died for you on the cross, you know, I nailed the law to the cross, and you just live by faith and grace, you know, do some nice and good things, and, you know, follow certain things that I've done, and everything's okay. He didn't say that. He made it very plain, and people are not paying attention to it. But you got to do the will of his Father, as he did. And what are the commandments of his Father? They're the same as they have been from the beginning. They were never done away with. So how are you going to do the will of the Father if you do away with his religion? And he claimed that's only for the Jews. You know, that's their God. We've got another God. That's why he warned his disciples. You better be careful of people like that who are going to come in my name and deceive many. They're going to lie to many. And so he says in verse 22, many will say to me, that is the majority, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Why do they say that? Because when his people are taken in, and those are shut out, and they wonder, well, how come we are not there either? And so they come to him, pleading with him. That's the scenario he's describing here. And he's talking about the majority, many, not the few. It's the few that enter in. Few that went through the straight way, but the many went through the broad way into their own religions, man-made religions mixed with the truth, belief in Christ, belief in his sacrifice, belief in what he had done on the cross, and denial of his very law, of his very nature, which is the will of the Father. And so they will come when they find out that they are shut out, and they will say, Lord, Lord, have we too, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. But what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to him if you do not obey his law and the will of the Father. And then he replies to them because of that. And when I will, declare to them, to the many, to the majority, to all these denominations, all these religions that call themselves, you know, by the name, you know, the general name, generic name to all of them, Christianity. I will tell them, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Imagine that. People who preach in the name of Christ, cast demons in the name of Christ, practice a religion, call themselves Christians, call Him Lord and Master, have all those celebrations, you know, though they're unbiblical, you know, Easter and Christmas and Halloween and Easter bunnies and all those pagan practices, and they come every Sunday, the sun, you know, the day of the sun, where the pagans worship the sun, only now they call it, you know, the day of the Lord. They called it the day of the Lord. He didn't call it the day of the Lord. He called the Sabbath his day, and he called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And so they have done all those things on their own, concocted their own religion, their own brain, you know, inspired by the devil and his demons, influenced by ignorant people, influenced by people who hated the law of God. As Paul made it very plain, the carnal mind, and that's what they had, is an enemy of God. How is it an enemy of God? He said it is not subject to the law of God, to the Torah of God, neither indeed can be. That's how. They despise to this very day the law of God. And they proclaim that most demonic doctrine that you read in their literature, that Paul repudiated the law. When Paul was the very one who was a great champion of the law, who said the law is holy, the law is good. You see, the law is spiritual. You read it in Romans chapter 7. And throughout all of his writings, he said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And yet these people went throughout all the world, thinking they've got a commission to go through all the world. And instead of teaching the truth, they fed them vomit, a mixture of truth and error, and deceived many. You see? And so they told everybody, well, you know, Paul did away with the law, he repudiated the law. That's the language they use. And the law is done away with. It's nailed to the cross. You know, it's for the Jews. It's, you know, that for that strict religion by the strict God. That's the Father. We've got our God, Jesus Christ. They are the one, He's the one that they constantly worship. And He's done away with the law. We don't need to abide by the law. We don't need that Jewish stuff. You see? All that was Judaism. You keep the Sabbath, they say you're a Judaizer. You keep the holy days, they say you're a Judaizer. You eat the right kind of food, they say you're a Judaizer, and so forth. And yet this is the very law that Jesus Christ himself gave in Sinai to Israel, his people, which he married. You see, the people that he married, he told them, you live by these things. That's how you're going to be holy like I am, righteous as I am, perfect like I am. And they went and lied to everybody and deceived everybody. And people followed it. What do they know? They're ignorant, they're blind, they don't read the scriptures, they don't prove all things as they were commanded to do. You don't believe everybody. The devil hangs around, you know, with the Bible. He likes to quote scriptures. That's what he was doing with Jesus Christ. That's his favorite thing to do. And that's how he deceives many. Oh, he allows you to have a measure of the truth. That's why he's described by the Apostle Paul. And he said of him, we're not ignorant of his devices, but the majority of people are. You know, he comes and deceives us. He appears as an angel of light. His ministers, and people don't think about it, that he's got a lot of them there. His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. And so they give you a lot of good things. And people fall for it. And then they deceive many. And yet Christ, he's not deceived. His people are not deceived. Those who live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, they are not deceived. You see, they're in the light. They walk in the light. They know what's true and what is not. And so they are obedient to the law. And that's what the apostles taught. All the apostles taught that, to be obedient to the law. And John spoke an awful lot about it, the one that they call, you know, the apostle of love. He said, by this we know that we love him if we keep his commandments. Or as Christ himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't say it's done away with. Don't think, you know, that I've done away with the Torah. He says, don't think that. Oh, the prophets, and yet that's exactly what the false ministers, the prophets of the Baal, you know, the ministers of the devil, they taught the whole world of Christianity. And so all these people now at the end of time, they realize that they are being shut out. They are not allowed in, into the wedding supper, so to speak. And so they come and say, hey, we are your people too. Look at the religion that we had all this time. We believed in you, have done all those things in your name. And that's what Christ tells him. I will declare to them, he said in verse 23, I never knew you. Imagine that. 2,000 years of supposed Christianity, and he tells them, I don't even know you, never knew you. You never walked with me, I never walked with you. I've never been to your assemblies, never listened to your prayers. You see? Because you are all workers of iniquity. And that's what he says to them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see? You despise my law because you are carnal and you hate it and another spirit is in you. That's what he tells them. A lot of people are kidding themselves that they walk in the faith, that they walk in the truth. And he brings before them, you know, to their attention, you know, the scriptures that make it very plain how we are to obey the laws of God, how Christ never did away with it, and how all those lies about going to heaven are not biblical, where Christ himself said, and we're going to see it many times, no man has ascended up to heaven. He'd never seen anybody there. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not the prophets. As Peter made it very plain, David has not ascended up to heaven. Well, anyway, until next time, again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people.